The construction industry in Indiana has depended on Quality Supply and Tool, a local family-owned business, to deliver quality sales and service over the last 25 years. The employees make the difference, like sales expert Nick Worley.
What sets us apart is we only offer quality tools and supplies from quality manufacturers. We have a quality trained sales and service staff knowledgeable of the products we sell and offer. Quality. It's in our name.
On South Harding Street in Indy, plus Jeffersonville, Bloomington, and Lafayette, Quality Supply and Tool thinks outside the box. Store.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it.
Beyond the Bricks with jQuery and Mike Thompson on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Should probably mention, by the way, as we have on occasion, that yes, it is Beyond the Bricks inside the Bet365 Command Center with jQuery and Mike Thompson, but that is not to say that there are not others behind the scenes, over the wall, if you will, that come around and fuel the car for us. Corbin Langenfelter is one of those. Elijah Roberson has done the same. Eddie Garrison, they are also equal heroes of this program each and every May in letting us talk about the great fixtures of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the great stories that make it the greatest event, the Indianapolis 500, in the world. My name is Jake Query. Mike Thompson joins me as well. And Mike, let's get right to it tonight, and I will let you make the introduction of a driver that I have always felt is not just one of the great champions of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but if you look up gentleman in the dictionary, you absolutely would see the photo of the individual that I will let you introduce, Mike, one of the true gentlemen that carries everything that we love about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with him.
I completely agree. One of the true gentlemen, one of the true ambassadors of the sport, one of the finest people you'd ever want to meet. And we are very fortunate tonight to have as a guest on the show joining us, three-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Mr. Johnny Rutherford joins us. Mr. Rutherford, thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, I'm glad to be here. And all of those things you said, don't forget it.
That's right.
We can,
that's absolutely right.
Hey,
absolutely.
Johnny Rutherford, right. Let's begin with this. You know, you are obviously a veteran of this race. You ran 24 times at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We will talk about that and hear some of the great moments that you enjoyed. But for so many of us, Johnny, in Indianapolis, really around the world, when the calendar turns to the month of May, there's just an extra pep in the step, and it becomes synonymous with hearing the cars and knowing that spring has arrived and knowing we're about to see something that we'll be talking about for another 50 years. What about yourself? What does it mean when you hear just of May, and are you like the rest of us in the fact that you kind of look forward to it all year long?
Oh, yeah, I think so. You know, as a driver that's had some success at the place, you know, you hear the name or you talk with somebody about it, it's the subject, you know, the subject of conversation nearly year round. And of course, having been a part of it for all those years, I always enjoy talking about it and being involved with it. This is this year, especially celebrating my 50 years since the first win in 74. Yeah, it's pretty exciting, you know, and it brings back memories. Yes, the big thing is the memories that are involved with that particular race.
Johnny, how exciting was it when they announced that you were going to have your likeness on the credential badge this year? I mean, what an incredible honor it is to have, as you mentioned, it's your 50th anniversary, but what an incredible honor to be on the credential badge this year.
Oh, it is, really. And, you know, it's something you don't, it's not something that's lodged in your brain, hoping that they do it or you know, whatever, but it just happened, you know, and it's really, like you say, it's a wonderful experience, and it's great. Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Speedway, informed me and made a trip to my home in Texas and presented me with the first one of those badges and the serial number on my particular silver badge is 1974. So I thought that was really something. And you know, it's one of those things you don't think about until it's time to think about it. And somebody brings up the subject and then your memories start flooding back.
One of the things that folks at home probably won't know, but Doug Bowles and I worked together on a project for you. So did you bring your Champion 100 mile an hour jacket with you this May, or did you think you might not need it up here?
It's a pretty heavy coat, you know, and I got to use it a couple of times in Texas this past winter, but it's something that I had always lusted for, was being involved with Champion. I have still have the wristwatch that they gave us, won all three of my 500s on Champion spark plugs, and it was quite an honor to receive the jacket.
For those folks at home, Doug Bowles and I collaborated on a little project because we knew Johnny always wanted a Champion 100 mile an hour jacket, and the club disbanded actually before Johnny had the opportunity to earn his way into the club, which he did when he won the 500. So Doug and I worked together and we got Johnny a Champion 100 mile an hour jacket, so that we worked together on that project, and we're very proud that we were able to present that to Johnny. So,
well, thank you very much. It's a prize honor to have. Thank you.
Well, Johnny, the reality is that you still get a few occasions in the wintertime perhaps to wear a jacket in Texas, but you are, of course, Lone Star JR, so you're synonymous with that state. But let's go back to the very beginning, and I know that you have told this story before, but for those that are unaware, you were born in the state of Kansas. At what age did you move to Texas, and what was it in Texas that introduced you to the racing bug?
My father was in the military. He was Army Air Corps, which became the United States Air Force a little later, and we moved around a lot. I went to 13 different schools during my time, and I was born in Kansas, and we lived in all different stations where my dad was stationed in the Air Corps, and he had the opportunity to move to Tulsa and be involved with the Oklahoma Air National Guard. And it was a squadron, fighter squadron, 125th Fighter Squadron, and it had P-51 Mustangs, was my connection with P-51 Mustangs. So anyway, we lived in Tulsa, and on one Saturday evening, my dad gathered me up, and we went out to the fairgrounds in Tulsa, and I saw my first midget race. Midget cars were very popular right after the war. People were hungry for entertainment, not related to the war effort. And midget racing was very, very popular. And I got to watch my first car race in Tulsa on a quarter-mile dirt track, and I was hooked. Boy, I wanted to be a race car driver when I grew up. And I was probably, 6 or 7 years old at that time. And it just stuck with me, you know, and I always had looked for opportunities.
Now, had your father himself been involved in racing other than being a spectator and having a fun event to take little Johnny to one night in Tulsa?
That was about it. He was involved as a participant, not a participant, but as, in fact, he bought a midget race car. They were back then in the 40s, they were homemade cars. You went to the junkyard and got you a couple of rail frames from a Model T, and you started making your race car and putting in a V860, which was Henry Ford's first V8, very small, 60 horsepower V8 engine, a flathead. And anyway, that's the way they were. And then Frank Curtis came along and built the Curtis Craft race car, and they were beautiful. In fact, I have one that I have restored, and that was my beginning. You know, I wanted to, and later on in life, in high school, I had a 32 Ford coupe with a then for early Chevrolet engine, small block Chevrolet engine in it, and it was just the time and all. And one night at a club meeting, one of the guys came in and said, "I'm going to have to leave early and help my brother put the engine in his dirt track car." And that set me straight up in my chair. And I said, "Dirt track car?" He said, "Yeah, they run every Friday night at the Devil's Bowl Speedway in Dallas, Texas." And that launched me on my effort with the help of a club members at the Hot Rod Club in Texas to build my first race car and get started.
Johnny, when you got started, you were running an IMCA, and you were running against, Pete Folsey and Harold Leap and those guys, Johnny White. How much fun was that?
Oh, it was great learning curve. You know, the experience was something. You learn something new every day, and I don't care if you've been in the business 100 years, you're going to go out and learn something on any given day about this business of driving race cars. And so the challenge of driving a race car, you know, it's just something that I have totally enjoyed and love being part of.
When you look back, Johnny, in your career and the learning aspect of it, which I'm assuming that when you are a race car driver, the learning never stops. I mean, even when you're at the top of the game, there's always another thing that can be found, another quarter, mile an hour or whatever it may be. But when you really look back on your life, what era or experience was it that you feel you learned the most?
Oh, gosh. The only answer to that is all of it. You know, that's part of life, you know, I think, is you learn something to effectively enhance your life, or you learn more about something that will help you in life, and it's just one of those things. It's if you don't enjoy that, then you really ought to go hide in a closet somewhere.
When you took your rookie test and you qualified in 1963, you were driving for I believe Ed Kostanuk at the Speedway. It had to have been a great thrill to qualify for the first time, and we actually have some audio that I don't believe you've even ever gotten a chance to hear that we're going to play for you of Sid Collins calling you in your first qualification for the Indianapolis 500, John.
Well.
Back at the Master Control Tower once again, we've had our 34th qualifier of the year, our first bump, Johnny Rutherford, a rookie in the City of Victoria car number 37, has just bumped Mexico City's Grand Prix champion driver, Pedro Rodriguez. Rutherford, a young man here for the first time, hailing from Fort Worth, Texas, born in Coffeyville, Kansas, has bumped one of the champion drivers of the world, Pedro Rodriguez, driving a BMC Aston Martin Cooper. Pedro had qualified at 146.687, Rutherford at 148.063 miles per hour. Very nice speed for rookie Johnny Rutherford today.
So there you go, Johnny. That was the first time Sid Collins actually said your name on a national broadcast.
Well, and he pronounced it the way most
incorrectly.
Boyd used to call me Rutherford, you know, and it's always that kind of a drag on the first part, Rutherford, you know. But anyway, yeah, that I had never heard that. I was on the track when Sid was saying that, but Sid was a dear friend and the voice of the Speedway, and he was greatly missed when he retired.
Sid Collins, of course, would figure out very quickly how to say the last name correctly because it would become a household one around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But it didn't happen right away for Johnny Rutherford at the Indianapolis 500. We will get into that, and we will hear some of the highlights, including from 50 years ago, win number one, when we return inside the Bet365 Command Center with Lone Star JR, Johnny Rutherford, on this episode of Beyond the Bricks.
Life is full of things to manage. Your work, your family, your plans, and your treatment. Consider Kesimpta, ofatumumab 20 milligram injection. You can take it yourself from the comfort of home. If you're ready for something different, ask your healthcare provider about Kesimpta and check out the details at Kesimpta.com. Brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
Life can be pretty busy, but when you become a Kroger Boost member, it's like getting a savings superpower. With unlimited free delivery, you'll save time and money, up to $650 to be exact. You'll keep saving with exclusive member offers and 2x fuel points every time you shop. Sign up for a 30-day free trial of Boost from Kroger to unlock your savings superpower today. No cape required. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is full of things to manage. Your work, your family, your plans, and your treatment. Consider Kesimpta, ofatumumab 20 milligram injection. You can take it yourself from the comfort of home. If you're ready for something different, ask your healthcare provider about Kesimpta and check out the details at Kesimpta.com. Brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
Summer concerts, pool parties, chill nights under the stars. We're stocking up our closet so you're ready to look your best for all of it. At Plato's Closet, we're buying all things summer. So bring in your tees, tote bags, sandals, sunglasses, and more. We pay cash on the spot for gently loved name brand looks. Plato's Closet is the go-to destination for trend-forward teens and young adults who support local and shop sustainable. Visit Plato's Closet today off U.S. Highway 27 and Citrus Tower Boulevard near the Publix.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Mike Thompson tonight on Beyond the Bricks, and we're joined by three-time Indianapolis 500 winner Johnny Rutherford, a special guest tonight. And Johnny, I've got to ask you, I don't think I've ever asked you this question. You got together with McLaren, and it was an unbelievable partnership. With McLaren, how did that partnership ever come about?
You know, it was a time in my career where I was driving for, you know, looking for good cars or cars to drive for good teams, and was kind of in a hanging around a little bit, you know, and trying to look for a good ride. And I had driven for Herb Porter, who was one of the best engineers and engine mans here at the Speedway. And Herb knew that Teddy Mayer and Tyler Alexander were looking for a driver to run the Speedway. And I had driven for Herb a couple of years, and he could see something that I couldn't see. But anyway, he talked to Teddy Mayer, the head the head guy at McLaren, and Teddy was coming to town looking to talk to drivers, and Herb put my name in the basket, and Teddy and I had breakfast here in Indianapolis on the morning he came to town, and struck up a deal, and that was it. You know, I just had the ride, and it was interesting. They brought the car to the Speedway in, I think it was January of that year or February, and we did a test, and the car did not handle well at all. It had a terrible understeer or the front end push. You just, you know, and that kills speed when you're trying to go fast at the Speedway. And so we tested, and I got to know the crew, and we tested 3 days, could not figure out how to get rid of the understeer, and they sent the car back to England for Gordon Coppock to the designer to figure out what it might be. And I didn't find out till several years later when I went to England and saw Coppock and asked him what they did. He said, well, the car got there, and he said, we looked it over and said, we completely redesigned the rear section of the car. And didn't have a clue if it was going to work or not, but that's what he decided. They sent the car back over, practice opened for the 500. And I went out, and we always ran, you know, five laps to shake it down to see if anything was going to leak, you know, had any oil leaks or water leaks or anything. And so we got the shakedown accomplished, and I thought, boy, this thing really feels pretty good. And so I went out to test, you know, do some runs, and within six laps I was able to run flat footed, throttled to the metal all the way around the Speedway, and we unofficially turned 200 miles an hour. It was incredible. And of course that was the beginning of our great situation with McLaren.
But Johnny, before that, Johnny Rutherford, our guest on Beyond the Bricks, you know, the reality is that success paid off for you, or rewarded, you know, patience. And part of the magic of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is, you know, the ultimate test, not only for man of figuring out the car, but wading through challenges and having perseverance. And you had to have that, because if you really look at your, you know, the first 8 years or so out there, a 29th, a 27th, 31st, you know, your best finish had been 18th. You had a couple of good starts, but oftentimes it was the old electrical gremlins or things that would come into play, and a few accidents as well, but that would end your race. How challenging were those first few years, I guess, from a mental standpoint? And did you ever reach a place where you just thought to yourself, boy, this place is just one that is, I haven't figured it out, and maybe it owes me one?
Well, no, for a race driver, I think, it's a challenge. And as long as it's challenging you, you battle it. You know, you hang in there and try to figure things out and you know, get your thoughts together and be able to go out and run as fast as you want to. You know, it's the challenge of it. And of course I had 11 years I ran before I won the race. And in those 11 years, I learned quite a bit about, about this place and about race cars and everything. So it's, like I say, it is a challenge. And for a driver or for a ball player or for, anybody in sports, is something that challenges you. That's what you're there for, is learning how to be the best you can at what you're doing.
Now, we're going to listen to some of the clips of you winning the race, which is always fun to do. And I want to let people know also about your involvement in an upcoming very cool event in Indy. But I did want to ask one more thing, Johnny Rutherford, and that is, and I'm going to do a Freudian deep dive here, okay? But I'm curious of this. So much of racing is to be mentally strong, to be able to from one race put a bad race behind you and move forward and et cetera. When you go back and look at having to go to 13 different schools and redevelop new groups of friends on a regular basis when you were moving as a child, and probably the independence from a thought process that you had to have as a youngster, how much did that benefit you as an adult race car driver in being able to go from one team to the next, or one bad race to the good race to another good race, etc.?
Well, not having a psychiatry.
Right.
background. It's the challenge, you go out to see what you can accomplish, and if it's not up to the standards, then that's a challenge, and you have to be ready to accept all of that and not let it get you down. You've got to accept the challenge. That's just the way it is. And if you go out and you do what you accomplish what you went there to do, and people always come around and say, "Oh, that was great. Congratulations. You did a great job." Well, that's what I went there to do, it's just the challenge.
Well, the challenge was met 50 years ago in 1974. Johnny Rutherford would start that race 25th, but he would finish it in the glorious position of 24 spots higher. And Johnny, this is how it sounded 50 years ago.
And there is the white flag for number 3, John Rutherford. Pick it up, Ron Carroll.
Okay, Sid, and here he comes right now from that number 25th position in the starting field. Johnny Rutherford wins, or is about to win, his first 500. Over to Howdy Bell in turn 2.
I'm really happy for Johnny and Betty because they're great people, and he likes homemade strawberry ice cream, incidentally, as he heads up the backstretch to Jerry Baker.
He just now goes past us, Howdy, heading in toward number 3, and as you say, one super guy, apparently off to the best win of his career. Doug?
The crowd on its feet, waving their hats, waving their arms, as the red, white, and blue helmet of Johnny Rutherford and the bright orange car goes streaking by over into turn number 4. Here's Jim Shelton.
Handsome driver, winning smile, and Johnny Rutherford. And here to call the winner is the voice of the 500, Sid Collins.
And here's the checkered flag for Johnny Rutherford, winner of the 1974 Indianapolis 500-mile race.
I love that clip because I love the fact that Howdy Bell knew that Johnny likes strawberry ice cream. That was a great clip.
Well, it's not my favorite, but then that's another deal.
There you go, exactly. So, and
Johnny,
I also love the fact, John.
I had always heard, Johnny, you tell me if this is fact or fiction, and I know it's 50 years ago, but I had always heard that there was a dairy event leading up to the race where they were serving homemade strawberry ice cream, and you kind of jokingly volunteered to be the guy churning that for everybody to kind of, I guess, do some physical therapy on the arm while you were there. Howdy Bell was there, saw it, and then made that reference as a joke. Does that ring a bell at all?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does now. That was That was something. But I, you know, I like all ice cream. You know, strawberry fits right in there nicely.
So you win in 1974. You almost win in 1975 with the rain, and then you do come back and you win again in 1976 with the rain. So the rain took one away from you in 75, and you end up with a win in 76.
Oh yes, I have always referred to this racetrack as the old lady, and I tell the young guys, this old lady can throw you curves you cannot believe. I said, it changes, you know, and it's incredible. One time, Tyler Alexander and I just wanted to try something to see. And we had the car set up, and it was very good. And we went out as soon as the track opened for practice. And we turned some good laps, came in, parked the car, you know, maybe had some breakfast or did something. And then we, you know, 2 or 3 hours later went back out and didn't touch the car, didn't change anything. And I went out and ran, and you know, it felt different. So we parked it and went and had lunch, came back, went back out, ran it the third time. And it didn't produce the speeds that it had earlier. And anyway, we went out a total of 6 times that day, and the car and the track was different every time we went out. It's a big place, you know, and the opportunities to change are incredible. One time I was doing a test, a mileage test, for Mobile here at the Speedway, and we had a new car with a 1 gallon glass jug mounted on the right front fender, and they'd fill it to a point to gas, and I'd go out and run 60 miles an hour around the Speedway until it ran out. And that's pretty good time, you know, to run. Well, the south end, the first and second turn short chute, was in sunshine. And it, you know, it was the same way at the north end until after a while it got a little dark in the west, like it does. And it came, and I was making a run, and the first and second turn were in sunshine, and before I made several laps, there was 6 inches of snow in the north short chute. And then the storm had just gone across. That's how big this place is. So it's something different every moment.
Absolutely. And it was definitely something different in 1976, because in 76, you became the first person to walk into victory lane. And we're going to get to hear that right now.
We had an announcement here and a lot of screaming, but I didn't pick it up because I was listening to you, Jer. Fred, what do you say?
Well, seriously, I think they're going to bring the car up to Victory Circle here. They're going to put it up on the ramps, and that'll be Johnny Rutherford, a true champion from Fort Worth, Texas. And that's 5 champions in one. He's got 4 champion spark plugs in that automobile and 1 in the seat.
I like that clip because Freddie Agabation always getting a little product placement in there for Champion Spark Plug, Johnny. So that was exciting, though, getting the chance to be the first person to walk into victory lane.
Yes, I've had a lot of opportunities to create firsts around here. You know, I that was, you know, obviously one that was, you know, to be first to walk in the victory lane, or the first to win in a particular, you know, I hold two honors here, or not, maybe not honors, but just opportunities here that I'm proud of. Is I won the last race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway won by an Offenhauser engine. And I had the fastest Offenhauser to ever go around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway when I set the track record in 73 at 198 miles an hour.
Johnny, another, I don't know if you'd say first that you had, but I wanted to touch on it because I know what it meant to you. I mean, you didn't have to be, you could see it from afar. And that is that, you know, there was a time where, and I say this almost flippantly, but there was a time where, like, women in the pits, a lot of people thought it was, you know, a distraction or bad luck or whatnot. And you and your wife had the kind of marriage that anyone should aspire towards. You could see it from afar, just the bond and the immediate connection the two of you had. But she was by your side and with you really from the get-go, just at the racetrack in general. And I think that that kind of tore down a little bit of a stigma or like a voodoo, did it not? Because here you were with your wife by your side in the pits, and then you win the race, and all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe that, you know, maybe there's something here, right? But it was just such a tremendous love story, and I've always thought that that was such a special gift that you guys were able to give to the Speedway.
Well, I appreciate that, and it was, you know, it was quite a deal. It was the first part of May, and I was going out for the final phase of my driver's test, and we pushed the car out on the pit lane, and I just leaned over and dropped my helmet in the seat while they took it back to the north end of the pits to stage the test. And I looked over at the fence, and there was this cute blonde. I mean, she's beautiful blonde. And I saw her, and she was looking at me, and I winked at her, and she disclaimed this for the long as we were married, that she waved back. But anyway, whatever it was. Love at first sight. And went back. Went out on my test, had some problems. Harlan Fangler said, we'll finish your test tomorrow morning. So I'm walking back to the end of the garage area, and Betty was standing at the first aid station and under the tower terrace. Anyway, I saw her there, and the first words I ever said to Betty was, haven't I seen you someplace before? And anyway, it was, you know, Dad, I asked her for if she'd like to go to dinner that evening. She said, no, I have plans. And I found out later, she told me later that she wanted to make sure that I wasn't married. And so anyway, she found that out. And we started dating. I met her the 1st of May. We were engaged the 1st of June and got married July the 7th. And that was about as fast as we could make it happen.
And it obviously was a love story that lasted, you know, until obviously you lost your wife, Johnny. And I've talked to you since then. I know race fans have as well. But continued condolences with that, because you guys were certainly a great love story. When we come back, one more win to get to, and a way that Johnny Rutherford is going to be contributing here to a very cool event that Mike is a big part of, that we'll tell you all about as soon as we return and put a tie on all of it. Jake Query, Mike Thompson, inside the Bet365 Command Center, Beyond the Bricks.
Life is full of things to manage. Your work, your family, your plans, and your treatment. Consider Kesimpta, ofatumumab 20 milligram injection. You can take it yourself from the comfort of home. If you're ready for something different, ask your healthcare provider about Kesimpta and check out the details at Kesimpta.com. Brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. From Riverside to Elkhart Lake, from Atlanta to Indy, all around the championship car circuit, the Pennzoil Chaparral has been a standout. Here's driver Johnny Rutherford.
Driving the Chaparral for the past 2 years has made a Pennzoil believer out of me. A win at Indy, a national championship, and thousands of race miles without an oil-related problem. Protection and Pennzoil. Get them together in your car.
Pennzoil Motor Oil. Ask for it.
Mike Thompson and Jake Query, joined tonight by three-time Indianapolis 500 winner Johnny Rutherford, our special guest. And Johnny, when you talk about the Pennzoil Chaparral, was that the best car you ever drove? Because I think in 1980, unless that car broke, that was going to be the winning car no matter what.
Yes, and that is a definite strong statement. And it was a different car. You know, it was the first true ground effect, which utilized the shape of the car to give it downforce that would not detract from the speed of the car, so to speak. Right? It enhanced the speed of the car. So it was totally different, you know. The first time I got to test the car in Phoenix, once we got it dialed in to where it was balanced, the only time I had to lift out of the throttle, and that was just transfer weight to the right front so it would turn in to the first turn. The car, I could run it flat-footed all the way around the racetrack. That's how much downforce it was making, and it was a new track record, you know. So it was totally different. And to come here, I couldn't wait to get it here because I knew what it was going to be. And it was, you know, not necessarily a new track record because the rules for the thing was, you know, the engine power was being controlled by USAC or the IndyCar body, because it was just fast, you know, set on the pole and won the race, and that's what we intended to do. And it was a great experience to get the chance to drive that car.
And this is how it sounded when it won in 1980.
Johnny Rutherford down the main straightaway, the white flag showing to him the car number 4 on the board. Now less than 2.5 miles to victory.
And what a fantastic race Johnny Rutherford has run today. The fans are on their feet cheering him on to victory. He's over in turn 2, Howdy.
Yes, once again in a very select group of 3-time winners he will join as he goes up the backstretch. Johnny Rutherford began to raise his hands off of the steering wheel, saluting the fans here on the last lap. He is about a third of a lap away from victory, Doug.
And here he drops down into turn number 3, swung up maybe just a little bit, it seems, into the short chute. Darrell, take him home.
Great round of applause, a waving to him. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here to call a checkered flag for the winner of the world's greatest auto race, the voice of the 500, Paul Payne.
Number 4, the Pennzoil Chaparral, his hand.
Another incredible victory for Johnny Rutherford. And Johnny, I know that our personal, our mutual friend Bart Stevens is working with you, and you're giving opportunities to the fans to kind of share some of your memorabilia now. And Bart's going to have that available at the memorabilia show that I'm also a part of in Plainfield. So talk a little bit about what you're doing, offering some of your longtime memorabilia to the fans.
Oh, yeah. I have helmets that I've worn in races and some race-worn uniforms, all sorts of memorabilia that collected over the years. And I'm truly honored, and it means a lot to me for that to find a good home and for the money to go to charities.
And again, that memorabilia show is going to be May 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Embassy Suites in Plainfield. You will hear Mike and I talking about it plenty, getting you all of the information in terms of ticket availability to be able to go out. It's an awesome show. And, of course, any connection to Johnny Rutherford automatically gives it some even more awesomeness, if we could use that word. I think I just made a word up there, but it's worth it when you're talking about Lone Star JR. Johnny, it is always truly not only a pleasure to listen to your story in your own words, but also as a broadcaster, it is an honor to talk to you in all of the areas of which you have so finely represented not only this race, but the facility itself, and the grace that you have continued to do so for now more than 60 years, but 50 years since your win. So a true pleasure, and we wish you the best here in the month of May in 2024.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Johnny Rutherford, three-time winner of the Indianapolis 500-mile race, joining us tonight inside the Bet365 Command Center. For Mike Thompson, I'm Jake Query, and thanks for listening to Beyond the Bricks.
Are you bogged down with constant sneezing, watery eyes, and congestion? Do you get sinus headaches and infections? No one should have to suffer season after season. And thanks to Aspire Allergy and Sinus, treating your allergies is easier than you think. With personalized treatment plans tailored to your needs and budget, you can say goodbye to allergy and sinus issues for good. Book your appointment today at AspireAllergy.com. Aspire Allergy and Sinus, where relief is just around the corner. AspireAllergy.com.